Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our final fresh episode of 2020. Today, we sat down with Kate Casey of Reality Life with Kate Casey to talk about the best shows of the year. Now, remember that we don't watch that many shows. We already watch a ton of shows for Bravo, and we do have the crappies coming up. So we'll be talking best of Bravo shows in that episode next year. But we wanted to finish the year off talking to someone we really like, and Kate has always been so supportive of us. She was one of the first people who ever really helped us when we were first starting, and we just really love her. So enjoy this show, catching up with an old friend, and we will see you in 2020. Follow Kate and Reality Life with Kate Casey wherever you find your podcast. Wherever you're listening to this, just search Reality Life with Kate Casey, or find her on Instagram at Kate Casey CA. Enjoy the show.
Oh, hello. Thanks, Kate. Hi.
It's been a good year of TV. There have been more shows despite COVID, and I am waiting with bated breath to hear your list of the best and the worst of TV in 2020. So are you ready for our list?
Oh my gosh.
Yes. This is going to be rough because it's hard for me to pick one best of anything.
I know it is rough. Okay, let's go with number one. Favorite new show of the year, Ben.
Oh my God, I was hoping you wouldn't put me on the spot because I'm not sure what my favorite new show of the year is. God, like, I'm trying to think what, for some reason, my mind keeps going to a show, but it's not a new show, but it sort of feels like a new show, but I'm just going to say it because who cares, right? Am I allowed to say Love Island USA?
Really? Okay, yes.
Because wait, what other really big new shows came out this year? I mean, I think I'm going to go with that. It's not a new show, but it felt like a new show because it was like a whole thing. It was in Vegas, et cetera. And I love Love Island. And I got so into the Love Island USA cast, especially because last year I really could only watch a few episodes and I gave up on it. And then this year I found myself caring more about Love Island USA than Big Brother USA, which is a shock. So I'm going to sort of out the gate mess up your rules a little bit and go with Love Island USA.
I think that they also tweaked it a bit, so they look less like crack whores. They had them all wear matching lucite heels and monochromatic matching dresses, so they looked really put together, so it did look visually much more posh.
And it was also like a really good counterpoint to Big Brother, which was airing at the same time. And on Big Brother, we had a season where literally the white people kept on like nominating and evicting all the people of color or the women. And then on Love Island USA, you had like an extremely diverse cast. So it was like very refreshing because Big Brother was making me so angry. And then I'd go to Love Island USA and I was like, this is like a better direction of what a cast should look like.
Okay, great. Okay, Ronnie, what do you think?
Yeah, Big Brother was horrifying this year. I like more science fiction-y type of shows when we're not covering Housewives shows. I really loved Lovecraft Country on HBO. That was so good. It's basically a science fiction suspense thriller show that mixes, you know, like real world events with zombies and killing and death. And I also really liked one that is on most of the worst shows of the year lists, which is Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. It's this like robot lady trying to have a baby, and I was like, this is so Real Housewives, but it like really embraces the dystopian part, you know. And I feel like if Real Housewives just did that, it would be a much better deal for all of us. Yeah,
my favorite new show of the year is on HBO Max. It's brand new. It's called House of Ho. It's about a very wealthy,
I can't wait to see that,
Vietnamese family in Houston. Three brothers and a sister. The oldest sister's named Judy. The two brothers are named Washington and Reagan. All of the grandchildren have the names of presidents. They have the most nutty parents and this great aunt who is just a spitfire. So that is my favorite new show of the year. And I love that it is coming to us in December to just leave us out on a great note after a shitastic year.
Yeah, that's actually my Christmas break show for sure.
Same. Actually, you know what? I actually have a proper answer for you because I kind of fudged it with Love Island. So let me give you a proper thing of an actual new show that I'd forgotten about, but I was like, wait, I loved the show. Was Taste the Nation with Padma Lakshmi. I absolutely loved it. She is Like, I love Padma, so I'll pretty much watch anything she does. And I also love food, so I love watching food, et cetera. But it also happened to be, like, a really good show that, like, would have very thoughtful moments, but was also, like, it wasn't just, like, all serious. It was just, like, so fun to see all this food, especially now when, you know, being stuck in quarantine where you can't really go out to restaurants these days. So to sit there and just, like, watch Padma go around and eat things and get her shirt stuck in car doors and stuff was just, like, great for me.
Yeah, and she would ask herself things that we're asking ourselves in quarantine, like, where do hot dogs come from?
What is chop suey?
Okay, least favorite show of the year. Ronnie, you're up first.
Wow, I have four listed. Okay, so I'll give you my nominees. Too Hot to Handle on Netflix. Ratched on Netflix. Labor of Love and Listen to Your Heart, both on ABC. Mm-hmm. And I would have to go with Labor of Love. Wow.
That was a horrible show. Ben, what about you?
I mean, Big Brother was abysmal. It was just like, I am a huge Big Brother fan. I feel like it's part of me. And I actually had to stop watching. I thought it was an affront to the franchise. I think that CBS needs to revamp it. I think you need to clean house. The challenges are stale. The production is stale. It's juvenile now. Like, there's stupid sound effects. It's poorly scripted with everything. The casting was awful. And on top of then there was also all that problematic stuff that I mentioned before, which was just like the awful. It's like the rotten cherry on top of a melted sundae. So Big Brother needs. I'm not saying cancel it. I want Big Brother to be around for the long haul, but it needs to be, it needs some major fixes. And I was really disappointed with it.
For me, I said Flirty Dancing, which was a Bachelor kind of ripoff where people meet and they perform a choreographed routine, which was so horrible. But the other one was, it's called DeMarcus Family Values with Rascal Flatts bassist Jay DeMarcus and his ex-beauty queen wife, Allison. And it was atrocious. It was a sad excuse for a television show.
You know, actually, though, you know what's funny is that my boyfriend was one of the choreographers on Flirty Dancing. And so we are grateful for that show in this household and for at least for that, you know. But it is sort of it was an interesting premise of a show for sure.
Actually, I should add one on there, which is the Kim Z show on Bravo. And I haven't even watched it, but she's such garbage. And I remember coming on your show to talk about an episode of her show. And I was like, wow, I've never really watched this. This is cute. What a cute family. I take it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Times have changed, yes. Tomas. Yes.
That's like a perennial worst show of the year. Just a sort of like, it has like a lifetime achievement award in being the worst show of the year.
Best star, male star in a reality TV show, docuseries, or documentary for 2020. Ben.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, Bravo has just like a million stars in them. And then let's not forget Survivor. Survivor just has so many too. I'm a huge Survivor fan. But I feel like this year when we're talking about like the whether you like him or not, I think he's pretty much trash and awful. But there's no denying to me that Joe Exotic
from
Tiger King.
He is the one.
Yeah.
He is the one. Okay. Well, then what about female star in a reality TV show, docuseries, or documentary?
For me? Are you asking me on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I love so many of them. The easy thing for me is to always dip into Real Housewives of New York and, you know, give you a Sonia Morgan or a Luann. But again, it's like, that's just so easy.
Well, I'm going to go with Karen Huger from Potomac.
Oh.
Because I was up on the fence with the New York house ladies too, the housewives as well. And I was thinking, you know, Karen Huger deserves it. She's really navigated them trying to take her down like every episode and come out just smelling like a rose and wearing a yellow sponge in the end. And she's just happy as ever. She's got her little perfume. She had a weird sex scene with her husband.
Ooh.
I think she's one of the biggest winners when people are constantly trying to bring her down. So I say Karen.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And I think that ultimately, even though it is easy, I do have to go with Sonia Morgan because I feel like she really put it all out there this year. She was a drunken mess. And in a way that I think other Bravo stars or reality stars are kind of afraid to do. She mm-hmm. said, I'm just putting it all out there. And I love that she went to a party and she hit on like a 22-year-old kid and was like, oh, you think I'm your grandma? Well, that's fine. And then she's like, yeah, I still text with him. I think she's kind of living her life on a very bad, toxic path, but joyful at the same time. So I got to give it to Sonia Morgan.
I always feel like they do toe the line of being the personification of that sitcom from the 80s called It's a Living, where they were all waitresses at the Sky Lounge. Yes. But my favorite is Darcy Silva of Darcy and Stacey and 90 Day Fiancé, because she's not malicious. She's not a hateful person, but it completely walks through life as if she's walking through clouds while wearing a bedazzled jean jacket with like a mane of horsehair, like completely unaware of how the world looks at her and doesn't care. And it's, I find her to be endlessly fascinating and hysterical.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. I like that we all picked disasters. That really, we all picked kind of disastrous people that you wouldn't think would be doing so well, but against all odds, here they are.
Well, that's like our thing. You ever play apples to apples with someone? You put your answer down, like if the adjective is like happy, and then like I will put down something like a disease, and then someone else might put down something like a rainbow. Like, I'm the one who puts down disease and not rainbow to happy in apples to apples. And that's sort of like, I think, what we all are.
Yes, I think you're right. Okay, best supporting star. These are people that are not, they aren't necessarily the star of the show, but still really brought their best to television this year. So supporting star male, I will start with you, Ronnie.
The boxing guy from Real Housewives of New York, or the guy with the martini in Real Housewives of New York,
Michael.
The horrified gay with the martini.
Yeah, he was great. Okay, Ben, what about you?
Yeah, I like the martini guy. I mean, he didn't even say anything. He just looked and he became kind of a classic character. So I have to go with martini guy also.
Yeah, okay. I had Dr. John Bachvar from Lenox Hill because he was the neurosurgeon who saved all those patients. And then they had a bonus episode about COVID. And he, I think, expressed what it's like to be a frontline worker in the early days of COVID. And add to that, he's dead sexy.
Oh, yes. Like that.
Dead sexy.
Okay. Female supporting star in a reality show, docuseries, or documentary, Ben.
This is going to be a controversial choice because 99% of America hates her. But I have a special place in my heart for her, and I'm going to say Davina from Selling Sunset.
Okay.
I love her awkward charm, and I love how she gets herself into a little pickle every single time. She just can't help but stick her foot in her mouth and be awkward and weird, wear weird lacy trim, and I just. I think she is just misunderstood, and she just gets shat on by America, by her coworkers, by her bosses, by her clients, and that makes me really love her.
Okay, Ronnie, what about you?
I really like the lady from Indian Matchmaking.
Oh, she was good.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she was terrible, and we covered the show on, I think, bonus episodes this year. And we covered, did we cover all of it, Ben? I think we did. But anyway, we covered it. We really liked it. And then we read all this problematic stuff after. And then I felt guilty for liking it as much. But I think she was great. I think she did a really great job. She helmed a totally different kind of show. And she made me laugh. And she still had some heart, even when she was telling people, like, you're basically unlovable. You need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love her. She pulled it off. Yeah, mine is a little bit obscure, but her name is Dr. Zsanzsa Lalich, and she appeared in at least three cult-centered docuseries this year.
I love her.
She is a new cult expert to all docuseries, documentaries about cults, and I find her to be the most compelling.
I loved her. Every time she came on screen, I loved her because she sort of has this like no-nonsense attitude. But she also explains about like the psychology of what happens with a cult, which I find to be probably the most fascinating part about any of these documentaries. And like she was severely, I don't know if actually, you know what? I'm not even sure she was in The Vow. I take that back. but she was definitely in.
She definitely she did cover The Vow. I think she covered. She covered it in the Stars documentary, not the HBO.
She was
one.
In the Stars. That's what I'm saying. She was in. She was on Seduced, but she wasn't in The Vow because The Vow was too self-indulgent for her to actually have room to be in there.
I agree.
But you know, because you know, Mark had to talk about the psychology of a cult, even though he wasn't licensed to.
Even though he was the one like doing a lot of the abuse in the cult. That ass.
Yeah.
Okay, TV show or series with the worst name, Ben?
With the worst name. Gosh, you know, I feel like the names were largely pretty good this year. I'll just go with Spy Games because why was that even part of our lives?
Yeah, that's Spy true. Games. How odd was that this year? Jeez.
Okay, Ronnie, what about you?
I think Labor of Love takes it.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that was just gross.
Yeah.
Mine was TLC's My Feet Are Killing Me, which has two doctors and they are going over fungus and dry skin and other things. It's just close-ups of feet the whole episode. But My Feet Are Killing Me. I mean,
TLC can always win, though. I mean, they have like the Dr. Pimple Pop. Isn't that TLC?
Yes.
What is happening with TLC? I just can't do TLC content. I'm sorry. Trading Spaces is the best I can do.
Okay, high achievement in casting, Ben.
Well, I did already touch on Love Island season 2 in America, so I won't go into that again because that was really good casting. You know, I think an argument could be made for The Undoing because you had all those super famous people being super famous in it. But true. In terms of, you know, but I feel like I actually kind of want to go back to a show that Ronnie mentioned, Indian Matchmaking. I thought that was great casting. It was like lots of normal, homely looking people. And I've often found that the most homely people make for the best television because the attractive ones are the ones that are like really trying to be stars because they think that they can attain it because of their good looks. Mm-hmm. But the homely people are just like, don't even know why they're on TV. They just sort of like did something and they're there. And then they're usually very guarded at first, but then they start to like open up their layers. And so I'm going to say I really like the casting on Indian Matchmaking, especially the teacher guy, the heavyset teacher guy with the beard whose dad like murdered his ex-wife.
That's right. He was wonderful. I hope that he found somebody.
I really need updates on that show.
I do too. That's a good point. Okay, Ronnie, what about you?
Well, I really like, one of my answers was Hugh Grant, because like, when have we seen him? You know, that was mm-hmm. cool to see him again, especially playing such a cad. And I really was impressed to see Sharon Stone in Ratched, because Sharon Stone, like, I didn't know that she was still castable. I just figured she was like always losing her mind on sets or just being like crazy. You know, I don't know what. I feel like Sharon Stone should work all the time. And I really liked that she was still Sharon Stone, like very Sharon Stoney. She was her Basic Instinct character all these years later, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My one friend who's an actress calls women like Sharon Stone and Kate Hudson and Julia Roberts self-actresses. And they're basically acting as themselves on camera and are just replaying the same role over and over again and to the tune of like 15, you know, 12 million. But they're just basically acting themselves.
Can I also give another like a honorary mention to something I saw last night, which I feel like deserves a quick end of the year mention for this category? Is Lauren Holly in Tiny Pretty Things.
Oh, I want to watch this show. I just looked it up. So this is that ballet show on Netflix.
It was pretty terrible of what I saw of it. Like really like ridiculously terrible. Like it felt like it's like from the people who brought you Undressed on MTV, they're now running that ballet.
Oh, I was ruined by Black Swan because now I want to watch ballet things.
So my high achievement in casting goes to the people of The Crown because they got a woman who looks so much like Princess Diana, but more so the actor that played Prince Charles, the way that his ears like prop out of his face and his facial movements, the way he's always kind of shrugging his shoulders. I'm always impressed with how the actors nail all the characters, but particularly the roles of Charles and Diana this year, the season, are really well done. So my hat's off to them.
Wow. I need to watch The Crown.
So really,
yeah, that's one thing that I want. I don't watch it because I feel like, oh, I'm not some old lady. I'm not going to watch The Crown. But then I watch Vera on Acorn instead.
Exactly.
Which is Brenda Blevin as a detective.
Oh, she's one of my favorites. Most thought-provoking moment on a Real Housewives show. This is like right up your alley. Ben, you go first.
God, you know, it's so funny because like when these shows wrap for the season, I like forget all about them. So I'm choosing this one because it's currently airing. I'm sure there were other thought-provoking moments, but I'm actually going to choose the fight between Monique and Candace because I didn't think it was a thought-provoking moment. I thought it was just like, oh, a reality TV fight. And then there was a conversation afterwards. But then like I actually really learned a lot from our audience about concepts like not identity politics, respectability politics, et cetera. So I actually feel like I really learned from that thanks to a lot of people chiming in, et cetera. So that was very thought-provoking for me.
Ronnie, what about you?
Denise and Brandy boning possibly on Beverly Hills.
Oh, yeah. That was thought-provoking. Yeah.
Mine is way more shallow. But I did get, like, I did find myself in a hole where I was, like, looking up Instagrams from that time period. And I was like, well, were they, you know, when were they even together? And what was Brandy's reaction then? And should I go back and listen to this old podcast where Brandy talked about it and said nothing happened? And then why am I so involved? Like, why do I care? I got so mad about that whole thing. I still don't really know why. But that really consumed my brain for that whole season.
I mean, it provoked thoughts.
For me, I'm going to say it's been Real Housewives of Potomac, two different things. Karen Huger being very open about the problems in her marriage now that she's had fame and her own income separate from Ray and how he's retired and the dynamics there, which I thought were very thought-provoking. But also in the reunion, the way they just brought up the issue of colorism. And I love that because there's so many things that one can learn from the way that all of them open up. I mean, I think a lot of the franchises focus on the aesthetics. And Potomac is really great because I think that they are really capturing issues relating to race that in a way that no other show is.
You know, also I think it's a good runner-up in terms of something that was really thought-provoking was the notion that how traumatic hospital smell can be for some people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That was really good on Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're right, Kate. By the way, I didn't mean to minimize everything you just said with the joke, but you are totally right.
Most underrated HGTV or Food Network show? Ben.
Well, I've pretty much sworn off of Food Network since it's just become like, who can make a cupcake from potato chips, but I've really moved on to HGTV and given that they're all pretty much the same show, I feel like my choice for underrated is this weird little chirpy show called Hot Mess House, where this lady who I believe is like from Alberta or something like that, she counsels people on how to organize their house over Zoom. And she basically classifies different types of people as different types of bugs.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, well, you know what? You're a cricket because you like to hold on to things. And that's what crickets do. And I'm like, why? It's like you're either a cricket or a ladybug or like a butterfly. And it just seems like the worst show of all time. And then like you watch it and you kind of want to see how they organize themselves.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking to yourself, what sort of insect am I?
Right.
Am I a cricket? I think I'm cricket.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, Ronnie, what about you?
I agree about Food Network. I actually went through the Food Network guide to pick something, and it's so bad now. It's so bad. I still just watch Ina, and now I watch Valerie Bertinelli on there, but I wouldn't call that the most overlooked. So I went to HGTV, too. I really love Flipper Flop Las Vegas.
Ah.
I love it. I think it's so good. It's so kooky. It's just another flip or flop show, but it's like an ex-showgirl and her husband, who's an MMA fighter, fighting while they make these crazy tacky houses.
Yeah.
And I also really like Restored by the Fords with Leanne Ford, who's an incredible designer, but she's not really very HGTV. Like, she does very high-end stuff, and basically her idea of high-end is like painting everything white, but she does everything in such a beautiful magazine kind of a way. And I don't think she gets much respect from HGTV viewers.
I'm going to say this is a Food Network show, but it's Trisha's best dessert recipes, and here's why. I think if you need something in the background to play when you're hungover or you're sick of listening to your children or it's just one of those days where you want to feel like all is right in the world, even though I don't believe that she makes any of these recipes at home, even though I think that somebody just hands her a piece of paper and tells her and then like shoves some food in front of her, there's something that is just like great for TV in the background viewing that I'm going to put her as my choice.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one. I'll check that out.
Like she'll say stuff like, oh, this is one of Garth's favorites. And you're like, I don't believe that shit. It's
yeah, I've seen her regular show and she says that about everything. And she doesn't, does she do this one like on her farm, on her and Garth's farm?
Yes. And you're like, but your farm is probably like has the most palatial chateau on it or something. And then, yeah. And also all of her food, I would never actually eat, but it's like a lot of those Food Network shows where I enjoy just watching people make things, but I have no intention of ever making it myself or eating it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just watching Fruit Cocktail. what's her buns? Paula Deen's son is like, I'm going to make what my mama makes, but healthier for my lifestyle. Hey, mama, it's me calling. She's like, honey. And she's like talking to him on the phone. And he takes all of her fattening food and makes it like healthy. And he says mama at least once in every sentence because he's like totally riding his mom's coattails. And I just watched one. I think there's only one episode. I guess it wasn't picked up, but it was on demand. And I got stuck sitting there. I couldn't turn it off. It was riveting. I was like, fruit cocktail with custard sauce.
That's so disgusting. Delicious. Oh, my God.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay. What show made you shit your lounge pants this year? Ben.
So given that there was a lot of lounge pants shitting in general, show or no show, I am oddly enough, I'm gonna go with God, I don't know. Again, I feel like I keep going to the same trough. Like I don't know if it's the Love Islands, either British or USA, because there were definitely moments in there where I was like, oh my God. But I kind of want to go with Survivor Winners at War because this is kind of funny. I remember there was a tribal council where I was like, oh my God. But I have no idea what happened at that tribal. If you ask me what happened, I don't know. But I just remember I was like, I can't believe that this show in like after like 40 years is still like capable of making me lose my mind and have to like text everyone I know who watches the show. It's just amazing that that show is still so good. So I wish I could be more specific on which tribal council it was, but I just really don't remember.
Okay, what about you, Ronnie?
I think for me it was Tiger King just because it was so different than anything we'd ever seen. And the people on it were real, but they were also just – it was just a whole world we hadn't seen. And then the twists and turns in it. Now it just seems like, oh, it's the Tiger King. We've all seen it. But at the time, I remember being like, what? Mm-hmm. at the end of every episode, I was kind of shocked by what had just happened and how it would twist and turn like that.
Mine is Murder on Middle Beach on HBO.
That's a good one.
That one was really good. Okay. Oh, I hope this person never is on TV again. Ben.
God, I want to say Kim Zolciak. I feel like Kim Zolciak is a safe one. I was also going to say, like, maybe Madison from Love Island USA, but that's like more of like a more of an obscure choice, but I feel like a very valid one. But I'm gonna go with Kim Zolciak. I think that she does more harm than good. I want to send like a lovely little note and be like, thank you for your service to pop culture. We no longer need you.
Right.
Good luck in the future. You know,
good luck on Instagram.
Right.
Yeah. Like here's some brochures. If you want to open up a Pizza Hut franchise or, you want to get involved with an MLM, but we no longer need you in pop culture.
She'd be perfect for an MLM. What about you, Ronnie?
Well, mine is going to be a shock to everybody. Kyle Richards. How dare you?
How dare you?
I can't with Kyle Richards. She's like the worst of reality TV to me. She's a schemer. She's a climber. She's a fake and a phony. Don't like her at all.
Mine is Claire from The Bachelorette. I would be totally happy to never see her on TV again. She's like a bratty, woman who has been on too many of the offshoots. And I just think you're married. You're going to get married now. Let's put this to bed. Like, go back to Sacramento and make yourself happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is one of my favorite questions. The Fontram Award. So what moment on TV this year gave you secondhand embarrassment? Ronnie.
Well, actually, Claire. Claire,
yeah,
coming back and yelling at all the guys because they weren't showing her enough attention on The Bachelorette was one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
Like, I agree with you.
Like, these guys come on TV to pretend that they like you to get some Instagram deals, and they're already pretending enough with Claire because she's a mess of a human being. And then she starts yelling at them because they're not paying enough attention to her and not showing her that they want to be there. I mean, I was mortified.
Horrible moment. I agree with you. Okay, what about you, Ben?
I feel like Giannina getting rejected at the altar on the line.
Yeah.
And then running
off.
That's
a great one.
That's actually not even the secondhand embarrassment. The secondhand embarrassment is showing up at the reunion being like, I'm still with him. I was like, oh, okay. Now this is the real secondhand embarrassment. Really, after all that. After all that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Worst recipe on TV. Ben, I have to know what you said.
Gosh, the first thing that came to my mind, I mean, there were some bad ones that I can think of from all walks of life. But oddly enough, the one that just jumped right into my mind was on the Great British Bake Off. Poor Laura, I love Laura, but her very first challenge, she tried to make a cake bust of Freddie Mercury, and it was just the saddest, funniest thing. And I just have to give it to her for that terrible, terrible Freddie Mercury bust.
Okay, what about you for you, Ronnie?
You know what? I can't even think of one. And we cover Top Chef, so that's crazy. But it was a really good year of Top Chef.
Well, what about, Ronnie, what about Vegas Night on top Below Deck Med?
That's good. Thank you. Ooh. Yes, I'll steal that. I'll go with Vegas Night. That was pretty bad. Poor guy asked Hannah Ferrier what he should make for Vegas Night because he'd never been to Vegas. And she's like, well, how about some nachos or some French fries or maybe some chicken fingers? And he did it badly, and it ended his whole TV career.
Well, you know how I feel about Hannah. Okay, Guy Fieri for me has that atrocious show called Diners and Drive-Ins where he's pretending that some of the food he's eating is actually edible. And he had this one episode where he had deep fried breakfast empanadas, and I was like, he is going to barf at any moment. And it was like he got pasty and sweaty. And I just felt like the projectile vomit would be happening momentarily. And he somehow withheld it inside of his body. And I was really impressed and horrified by the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
He's horrifying. And I guess if there was an award that's not on this list, it would be like the biggest shocker of the person that's still alive. And it would be Guy Fieri. Like, oh my God. I watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. I watch it all the time. It's like my background show.
Yeah, background show.
And how is he still alive? Like, I literally don't understand how he doesn't have a heart attack on television.
But also, if you're on a show like that, why can't someone properly dye your hair? Why does he have roots all the time?
I mean, you're asking questions that the universe just can't answer. I mean, Guy Fieri is just... I don't even know why he won the original Food Network star. I was a fan of Reggie, who he went up against.
Guy
Fieri, do you ever get like a weird fear that if Steve Harvey were to ever, you know, step down from Family Feud, they would give it to Guy Fieri to host instead? Like, that would be like a terrible thing for me. I sometimes think that would happen.
Don't even put that into the ether.
That'd be Sean Robinson. She's also like a total fill-in. Or they just have a 90 Day Fiancé. They had Suchin Pak. I was like, what? Like
from Suchin Pak?
1990s MTV? Like, what? Like,
let's get Serena Altschul.
I know, exactly. Okay.
Stepsister to Whitney Sudler Smith, I believe.
That's true. Okay, the last question. What moment on television could you watch 12 more times?
Well, I'm gonna combine two moments because I feel like they're part of the same spectrum. Maybe three moments. Okay, just Leah McSweeney, being crazy, throwing torches, throwing ravioli at Ramona, and like being crazy in Providence. But like God, I did love watching her throw ravioli at Ramona. Like, that was kind of an amazing thing. I think the torches, though. The torches is, like,
torches
is pretty, like, iconic. So I think I could watch the torches probably 12 more times.
What about you, Ronnie?
Well, yeah, this is a really hard one because it has been a very good year for TV, especially crazy scenes. But I think mine at the time wasn't my favorite, but now I will always remember it as being my favorite moment on TV this year when Lisa Vanderpump at the end of Vanderpump Rules, when Jax is like, this is my show. It's like, no, actually, this is my show. And then he got fired.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just so satisfying. And a year just full of crap, you know, to see someone, Jax, get his ass handed to him like that and be like finished.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just feel like it was, I don't know, I felt like God was like, I'm still here. I'm still here, guys.
I got your back. For me, it was reunions. It was when Tinsley put the smackdown on Dorinda.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
That was great. And I also liked when Monique put the smackdown on Giselle about her imaginary relationship with the pastor. Why isn't he here? Here's the phone number of the woman that was texting with him. She brought an abundance of receipts that I saluted, even though she wasn't my favorite cast member on the show. I felt like it was what we needed in these dire times.
Yes, that was actually pure brilliance. And it's still going. Like, there's, you know, at the time of recording, there's still a couple weeks of that. And I cannot wait to finish out the year with Monique just going off.
That is, yeah. That's what dreams are made of.
I would also give honorary mention to Padma Lakshmi speaking Italian on the Top Chef finale. What was the word she kept on saying, Ronnie? We kept on making fun. Was she saying prego? She kept on saying like one word over and over again, like to really show that she like knew Italian. She's like, prego. I'm not sure if it was prego, but it's something like that.
But my most used line from the year of anybody is, I don't wear masks in the ocean. Okay. I don't wear masks in the ocean.
Sorry.
Love you guys so much. I can't even imagine what craziness we are going to have in 2021. What is the one show that is just, it lights you up and you know that there is a North Star in the sky? What show is that?
You're going to, I don't think I'm going to win anyone over but when I say this, but for me, it's truly my North Star is Summer House. I'm so excited.
Oh.
I'm so excited. The trailer for the new season looks amazing. I love Summer House. It's never let me down. Maybe season two let me down a little bit, but it has had two amazing seasons now in a row. And I mean, I cannot wait.
Okay. What about you, Ronnie?
I think the show that has always consistently made me laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I'm a little worried about this coming year, but I'm also very hopeful is Real Housewives of New York. Cannot wait. It's hilarious every single time. You know, people like Dorinda, who I was really thinking needs to go. I mean, she got so just dark and vile at times. I still really love her and I'm going to really miss her on there. And I'm like, what are they going to do without her? And is it going to be the same?
Yeah.
But I'm so curious about it and I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Well, I love you guys so much. And tell everybody where they can listen to your shows, not just the show that you can find easily on iTunes, but your Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Go to patreon.com/watchforcrapins to get access to all our fun Patreon stuff. We got bonus episodes every week. We got a Discord server. We have Crapins on Demand, which is where you can watch us recap the shows. It's a blast. Go check it out.
And then where can they follow you on social media?
On Instagram, we're at Watch What Crappens, and on Twitter, we're at What Crappens. So you can find us there. You can also find our personal. I'm at Ronnie Karam. That's a K with a K. Okay. And Ben is at Ben Mandelker. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter. I think that's it, right? Not even on the Grindr these days. So
I know.
That's it for us.
Yeah. That's pretty much Instagram. Listen, Instagram, Twitter. You just give us a follow. I'm still working my way up to getting that Instagram blue dot. Someday I'll be notable enough to get one.
I find that perplexing that you, all-star of the world, they need to like check their systems out. That's an atrocious.
Thank you, Kate. Yeah. Thank you. That's what I messaged them. I said, you need to check your systems out because I have been written up in a local newspaper, okay?
Yeah. Oh, and also, Kate, for our listeners, because we are going to be posting this on our feed too, tell us where we can find you.
Well, the show is Reality Life with Kate Casey, and I'm interviewing reality stars, directors, and executive producers of reality TV shows, docuseries, and documentaries all year long. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. My Instagram is at Kate Casey, C-A, and I also have a Patreon that's just patreon.com/KateCasey. And that's it.
Right on. Well, thank you so much, Kate.
Thank
have
you,
a great
guys.
New Year.
Happy Thanks, New Kate. Year to you.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everyone out there.
You too.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell. Miss Noel, Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.